Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Brie.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, my hip.
We're old on this podcast.
Goodness, yeah. I'm just trying to recline myself and my hip, like, oh, that hurt. Welcome.
Don't turn 31.
No. 30.
How old are you? 31?
31. Yeah.
That means I'm 32. Yeah,
the other day, I can't even remember who I was talking to or what I said. Well, I know I said that I was 30. I want to say it was when we were with Cassie and Lexi, but I can't remember. But John calls me out and he goes, no, you're 31. I was like, why?
That's so good he remembers. Then there's Cameron, who I had to tell him for the first 3 years of our relationship how old I was. He's like, how old are you again? I'm like, wow, cool, thanks, dude.
No, I get called out when I try to say I'm 30.
Because he's older and he doesn't like it.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyways, guys, welcome to Off Script,
a podcast
where we compare books to their movies.
Yeah. Oh, I'm Brie.
And I'm Allie.
And this is Off Script.
I know. We need to figure out.
I know. That's got to get done better. Whatever.
We'll figure it out one day.
Yeah. It might take us till season 5, but yeah. Hey, we tried.
Anyways, we're on season 4, episode 9, The Last Song.
Mm-hmm.
A Nicholas Sparks for your February that comes out in March.
Good. Yes. Yeah, sorry about that. Season 3 screwed that up for us. But also.
Oh no.
It's Nicholas Sparks. What can I say?
Oh no.
Well, I'm pretty sure I already said it in our remote recording with Three Trees books, but mm-hmm. I thought just doing one book of his in the month of February was gonna be better. But I really think doing all of him last year.
You just need a break.
Yeah. I was like, dude, yeah.
I actually like this one.
No. No. I also said in Three Trees one, this was the one that made me realize, because I had hopes for it because I enjoy the movie.
Are we jumping into what our thoughts are already?
No. I mean, I guess if you want to say that I enjoyed it, it's a thought. But as I was reading it, or I also listened to this, so that might be, maybe it would have been better if I actually read it. I don't know. As I was listening, I was like, well, what is so bad about his books? Why can't I stand them? What is wrong? Like, there's got to be something. I can't just not like all of his books, like all of his writing, like. That just seems weird to me. There's like, you know, I wanted to find the thing that really irritated me. And then I was like, but wait, I loved A Walk to Remember. Why did I love that book? And that's when it clicked that that was written in first person and every other book of his is third person. And every other book, you follow like 5 different characters, not just the one like you do in A Walk to Remember.
I know, but we do that in like Stephen King and stuff.
Yeah, but Stephen King knows how to write it.
I don't think this one was too bad compared to the other ones last season.
It is the better of the books that we have read. But I also, like, halfway through the book, I was like, oh my God, can it be over already? So.
Okay, well, I'm interested to see how this goes. All right. Well, that's a pretty good picture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's do it.
Let's.
So our synopsis for this book movie is it follows a troubled teenager, Ronnie, as she reconnects with her estranged father and falls in love during a summer in a quiet southern United States beach town.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we have our author, Nicholas Sparks, our director, Julie Ann Robinson, screenplay writer, Nicholas Sparks, and Jeff Van Wyl. Just wait, girl. Just wait.
Okay.
I have my mind was blown when I found this out. Okay. And our audiobook readers were Pepper Binkley mm-hmm. and Scott Sowers. And you listened.
Yes, I did.
How was your listening experience?
Yeah.
I thought they did good.
Yeah, they were fine. I sped them up.
So they're chipmunks.
Not to chipmunks, but because I felt like she took breaks and pauses.
I always have mine on 1.15 or something like that. Mm.
Well, what's funny is because I listened to this one fast forwarded, mm-hmm. I started Silver Linings Playbooks, which I know, guys, confusing. That's not for a long time, but I'm jumping around this season.
Over the place.
I'm just if I see it on the library app, I'm like, yes. Or if I'm because I've already read Silver Linings Playbooks, so I'm not sad about not reading it. So I'm like, yeah, I'll read or I'll listen to that one this time. And there's certain books I'm like, okay, I want to read. So I'm just skipping to the ones that I can find that I want to listen to, that I can listen to. It's hilarious because it works for this book and it fits the character. But I forgot that I had sped it up. And at one point I was like, God, this dude is almost too much in this moment. What is going on? But I was like, it's still fast forwarded.
That's funny. All right. So the book came out September 1st, 2009. The movie March 31st, 2010, which is, I usually just go by the years and I did 1 year. And I was like, wait a second. That's not a year.
That's way less. Yeah.
And this is why Nicholas Sparks wrote the screenplay for this movie as a vehicle for Miley Cyrus. And then he adapted the novel from the screenplay.
I know. So then how did he fuck it up so bad?
He gave it more story, I guess. But it's so, but there are such parts that are so different.
Yeah.
I wonder if he wrote it and then he was like, I don't really like that. And he changed it in his book.
That is so weird.
Isn't it odd? My mind was blown. I was like, wait a second.
So he did the movie first.
Yeah.
And then went back and was like, this is the book.
And then he released the book first.
Okay. All right.
So he wrote the movie first, but released the book first.
Jeez Louise, dude. Normally I love when authors write their own stuff. This makes me a little bit mad. what? Okay.
All right. So which first?
I watched the movie first.
I did as well.
Mm-hmm.
Way back when.
I was just going to say forever ago in high school.
I'm sure I saw it in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think I did. Yes, I did see it.
It was one of the few movies that my mom has seen with me in theaters.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And now that we have read the book, what do we think of it? And would you recommend it to a friend? I added that in there.
Well, that's
because
a good one.
That's kind of basically what we're doing here, right?
That's a good one. Yeah. Oh, well, then I get... Wow, now that you put that in there, that changes my answer.
Oh, what were you going to say?
I was going to be like, I think it's a good story, but I would not recommend it to a friend. So, yeah.
Okay. I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think this was a nice one because it was more than just a love story.
Yeah.
It had a love story, but it was
mainly about her dad.
Primarily a different. Yeah. So I liked it.
Yeah.
I would recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, friend out there
who doesn't like it.
So why'd we pick it?
Because I actually, this is one of my favorite Nicholas Sparks movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I was like, all right, let's do it.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Let's do this.
Okay, let's do it. So I got some Allie super fun facts for you first. So a lot of the shots, especially the nighttime ones, Miley Cyrus had to use her double because she was still a minor. So her hours could not be exceeded. Number two, Liam Hemsworth's greatest fear was that he would not be convincing as a beach volleyball player because he's never played that sport before and he lied about it in his audition.
Good job.
Number three, Tybee Island. I don't know. It's wherever they were filmed. is protected, is a protected landscape. So they had to have permission every time someone had to walk on the dunes. So finally they're like, this is ridiculous. Let's just make our own.
Yeah.
And they did such a good job at making it that the natural habitat people were like, yeah, you can leave those.
We like those.
Yeah, so they left
That's
them.
Hilarious.
Okay, number four. The turtles proved to be difficult to work with as they only make their walk to the ocean at dusk. Mm-hmm. So they have 15 minutes every night to shoot these turtles. So it took them four nights to get the whole shot.
That's annoying.
I know. I'd be so irritated. Like, And last one, since this movie was written for Miley Cyrus, she chose the character's name and she picked Ronnie for her grandfather, Ron.
That's sweet.
Died in 2006.
That's sweet.
Yeah. But it's kind of like, what? That's just mind blowing to me.
That's
still
so weird. Like, it's weird.
Alrighty.
All right.
Ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's kick off. So as Brie had said, this book follows different people. So I have it marked when we're following which person. So it kicks off with us following Ronnie. And Ronnie's talking to her mom and she's really sad for some reason. And her mom's like, sometimes talking about it helps. And she's like, well, it all started with a fire at a church. And then this is basically then we flash back to 6 months earlier.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen in the movie.
Nope, not at all. So it's 6 months earlier and they're on their way from Manhattan to, I believe it was North Carolina. I very much could be wrong about that.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Okay. And Ronnie's pissed. She has to go. She doesn't like her dad and her mom's shipping her off to be there all summer and she's just pissed off. And her mom and her are fighting the whole way and things. There's a mention of an incident, but we don't really know what that is yet. And now we get some background on Steve, which is her dad that she hates. And he taught at Juilliard piano and he taught Ronnie growing up. And now she just hates the piano because she hates her dad.
In the movie, Steve is not a piano teacher. And I'm also like, there's no mention of him teaching at Juilliard. And then the rest of that does not happen.
The rest of it kind of happens. They're fighting in the car on the way.
A little bit, yeah.
And they're on
the way. I guess her little brother says the thing about her getting arrested, mm-hmm. but not in the way that it happens in the book.
So now we're following Steve, dad, and not Steve's dad, Steve, a.k.a. dad. And we learn more of his backstory. He hasn't seen his kids in years. He has some type of medical thing going on, but again, we don't know. I think this, I don't know, did Walker remember do this where little things are sprinkled in but not told to us?
Yeah,
it did do that.
Yeah,
okay, because I was like, maybe that's what you hate.
No.
Okay, so he has some type of medical thing,
but also because you gotta think about it, I read A Walk to Remember knowing that she was sick.
Oh yeah, that was what he sprinkled in that one.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if you would have hated it if you didn't know that.
Well, I also knew that Steve was sick.
Oh, yeah. Never mind. That's true. You know this whole plot, don't you?
I do.
Oh, boy.
I watched both of those movies before.
Oh, my gosh. Never mind. Shut me up. Okay.
Plus, I love when books do something like this in a way that's very well hidden. I hate when it's over the top and like you can tell right off the bat.
This one was very over the top.
Yeah, it really was.
It really was not.
He's out of breath. He can't stop coffee.
Yeah.
Things like that. But I like it when I get to an end of a book and I'm like, wait, that's why you did this and that's why you did that?
Yeah, I do too.
So I don't think so, but
okay. Anyways, so the kids get to his house and Jonah, who's Ronnie's little brother, is so excited. He's super talkative and all this sort of stuff. And he's like, how old is he? He's little.
I think he's 10.
He is in the movie. Is that how old he's supposed to be in the book too?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Anyways, Ronnie's
remember, movie came first.
I know. That's true. So Ronnie's like, whatever. And she just leaves. And he's like, wow, great to see you too, Ronnie. Mm-hmm. Love you. And so Kim, who is Ronnie's mom, and Steve talk about Ronnie and she's a shoplifter. And the first time it was real, she got in trouble for it. Second time it was an accident, but judge says if it happens again, it's on your permanent record or whatever that's called. So it follows you. It's
mm-hmm. a permanent record.
Permanent record. Is that for like not just for school?
I would assume.
I have no idea.
It's a felony charge. that goes on your permanent record, I would assume. I think so.
Okay. I don't know.
If you're a cop, let us know. Ty, you listen.
Okay. So Jonah is like exploring his whole dad's house because like cool house on the beach, like it's just fun. And he finds this shed. And in it has a bunch of glass art stuff to make a window. It also has a bunch of weird taxidermy stuff, like that has animals chopped in half and sewn together, like fish, frogs, and squirrel, rabbits, and I don't know. I'm making those up, but there's something like that in the
taxidermy
book.
Weird animals. Things. Who said fish? What?
It's because I said fish. And then, yeah, and Steve's going to take Jonah to the carnival in town once his mom leaves.
Some of this happens. Main differences here is when Ronnie storms off, Ronnie's mom is telling her dad how back home, Ronnie decided to break her piano. Or wait, no.
Oh, she broke Steve's
piano.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
when?
At the start, apparently.
No, but I'm saying, when did she do that?
Oh, in the movie?
Like when could she have done that in reality to the book? Because he just leaves, right? He wouldn't even know.
Oh, I see what you're saying now. I'm like, Allie, we watched it together.
Like, he wouldn't even know, like, because he just, the mm-hmm. point of it is he just had to up and leave.
Yeah.
And which is why Ronnie's pissed.
Mm-hmm.
But the piano is in his house.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was just odd to me.
Yeah. And then, lo and behold, Ronnie also got into Juilliard. And has decided she's not going, which is so wrong.
Okay.
It's all you.
Okie dokie. So, now we're following Ronnie, and she's at the carnival, too. There's this crowd on the beach and she's like, I wonder what that is. So she goes over there and looks, and the players are like these rich snobby boys. And she's like, ugh, stupid. So she goes to leave, and one of them, Will, runs into her on accident, and he spills soda all over her, and she's pissed. He's like super apologetic, but she says, leave me alone, and just leaves. And she cleans herself up a little bit. And then this girl comes and spills slushy all over her. And we find out this girl's name is Blaze, a.k.a. No, her name is Galadriel, a.k.a. Blaze. And Ronnie's like looking at all these shirts, and finally she buys a Nemo shirt.
It was supposed to be a lost and found shirt that Blaze grabbed for her. That it's Nemo, but it's the only thing we've got here.
Oh, okay.
The movie screws that up.
Yes.
Or does the book screw that up?
Who knows? And so then Jonah randomly shows up and sees Ronnie and he's like, hey, pay me $10 and I can get dad to go away. Well, first he started $5, then he raised it to $10 and all this sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So she does, and Jonah like says, oh, I don't know where she is, dad, and gets him to go on like the rides with him so that Ronnie can run away. And so then she goes and hangs out with Blaze and Marcus, who is Blaze's boyfriend. And there, Marcus is like a street performer and he's doing a fireball act. Then we learn more about Ronnie's past and how she grew up in Manhattan. So she would go clubbing and all this time, but she never understood people drinking and doing drugs and stuff because they do dumb stuff. And she does not participate in that recreational stuff.
In the movie, Ronnie buys a shirt rather than Blaze giving her a lost and found shirt.
Well, first Blaze tried to make her steal it.
Well, yeah, that's true. good point. And then she's like, I have gotten in trouble for that already. And then when Blaze and Ronnie are chatting with each other, Ronnie tells her where she's from. Guys, where is she from? Did you just say New York? Oh, you're wrong, she's from Atlanta.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah,
I did not catch that.
Yeah.
She's always Nicholas Sparks. Come on, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Why change that?
I know. That's the dumbest. And then
I wonder if it was because Miley Cyrus never lost her accent entirely.
That might have been it. Yeah, I don't know why he Anyways. And then at this point in the movie, this is when Marcus kind of forces himself onto Ronnie to like be like, ooh, hey, I'm into you. And she's like, get off me. But Blaze sees this here, whereas in the book it happens a little bit later.
Mm-hmm. And in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're in Marcus's head. And we don't get in Marcus's head often, but when we do, it's luckily very short.
Yeah.
So, Marcus is only with Blaze because she's good in bed and she'll actually have sex with him. And so he really wants to get with Ronnie, though. And this is when he's throwing himself at her. And she's like, hey, you want to go to Florida? And she's like, what the heck? No. Because one, Blaze is sitting right there.
Yeah.
And so he starts mentally wondering, I wonder if she has money because those girls are always snobs, blah, 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 blah. He then thought of a memory where he caught this rich boy's boat on fire. And he thought it was so funny, but he never tells anyone when he does these things because he doesn't want any loose ends.
Mm-hmm. That does not happen in a movie.
Nope. All right, now we'll follow Will. And Will and his friend Scott are at the carnival. They were the two boys doing volleyball. And we find out that Scott set the fire to the church and Will has been keeping it quiet for him. So Blaze, Marcus, and his gang show up and they all saw this happen. They all saw it catch fire. Then Will has an ex named Ashley and she wants to get back together with him. And her friend won't go out with Scott unless Will gets back with Ashley. And this whole, all this drama. And Will's just like, oh my gosh. And Will goes to get some food. And suddenly French fries are getting thrown at them. And it turns out it was Marcus. And he's yelling something about throwing a bottle rocket. And a fight breaks out. Ronnie gets there and she yells, stop, because there's a little kid crying. And she helps the little kid before taking off with Blaze. And Steve shows up and he's talking to the police about where might Ronnie be. And Will's like, they're at that place, that beach, whatever it was called.
It happens, but it doesn't happen. Will and Marcus get into a fight at the carnival and Ronnie stops it. But that's it. Scott like talks to him about the whole Ashley thing, but that's it.
That's literally it.
Yeah.
It was very, very minute.
Uh-huh. And the cops are not involved in this.
No, not at all.
Nope.
So Ronnie's now taken home. Oh, we're following Ronnie. She's taken home by the police and she's livid. Her dad's home playing the piano and she yells at her dad and then goes to bed and she finds out she's sharing a room with Jonah. Her and Jonah luckily have a good relationship. And so like she's pissed off she has to share a room with him. But in the end, she's loves her little brother.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next morning she wakes up and there are bars on her window and she does not believe her dad when he says they came with the house. And she just takes off and walks around town and she finds Blaze and Blaze is like, hey, let's go get some food. And Ronnie bought her some food.
This does not happen in the movie. In the movie, the cops don't bring Ronnie home. She just comes home and her dad is sitting there composing a song on the piano. He doesn't compose this song until way later in the book. And then when Ronnie goes into the bedroom and Jonah's there, that happens. But then Jonah and Ronnie are talking at night and Jonah tells Ronnie that he's worried that he's gonna lose dad again. It's like, that's not,
I know
Jonah never said something like that in the book. Like, what? And then before Ronnie's going to bed, she goes out to her dad and she looks like she's gonna hang out with him and like she's like, yeah, we're having a good time. And then she's like, can you stop playing the piano?
Now we're following Will and we find out Will works at his dad's brake shop and so does Scott. And Scott's trying to make him feel bad about what happened last night because he didn't get to get with Ashley's friend because Will wouldn't get with Ashley. And but Will brings up that girl who stopped the fight. Who was she? And Scott's like, I don't care. I wanted to be with what's her name and I couldn't because of you. That was pretty much the whole Will part.
That did not happen in the movie.
We don't follow Will in the movie.
Nope.
Okay, Ronnie. Ronnie and Blaze are chatting over breakfast and they're talking about the worst thing they've ever done. And Blaze is like, I killed my neighbor's flowers. And Ronnie's like, I shoplifted. And Blaze is like, that's nothing. And I'm like, compared to killing flowers?
Yeah.
Okay. But then Marcus shows up and they eat all of Blaze's food. And he starts hitting on Ronnie right in front of Blaze again. And it's like,
Blaze, the fact that she even stays with him.
I know. My gosh.
Mm-hmm. This doesn't happen in the movie.
Not at all. Nope.
Yeah. This is one of those movies. This is one of those. Yeah. Just wait. There's also, we've got one that we're recording coming up where it's going to be all you talking, me going, that happens. That happens. That happens.
Oh, great. So then we're with Steve and we learn more of his backstory and how his dad died a couple years ago. And He was by his side throughout the whole thing. But his dad never said, I love you. He wasn't that type of dad, but Steve knew he did love him. His mom died a few years before his dad did. And his mom was a hardcore Catholic. But Scott, okay, this is going to, I want to see how many times I do this. Because the entire time I was reading it, I kept calling Steve Scott.
Oh,
sorry, guys. In my notes, I wrote Scott. And it's no, Steve. It's Steve. So I'm keep track of my
hilarious.
Head.
Many, one.
So yeah, so far I, as I went back and reread notes, I fixed like four of them last night, and I did these at 1:30 in the morning. So I'm sure there's more in there somewhere. Sorry. Anyways, let me try that thought again. His mom was a hardcore Catholic, but Steve began to get piano lessons from the Baptist church's pastor, Pastor Harris, who ended up being like a second father to Steve. And so then it flashes to another memory of him and Kim in marriage counseling before they called it quits. And it flashes back to Steve, and it's 1 a.m. and Ronnie still is not home yet.
This doesn't happen in the movie.
Okay. Now we're with Ronnie. Ronnie is at the beach with Blaze and Marcus and all these drunk people. And Marcus comes over to Ronnie and starts hitting on her and asking her if they should go take a walk. And he's like grabbing her hips and everything. And she says no and pushes him away and then walks off. And so really loud, he says, sorry, no, I'm just going to stay here, actually. Like making it implied that Ronnie wanted him to come
with her.
Yeah. She just keeps walking because she's freaking petrified and terrified that. You know, and so embarrassed. And she has another yelling match with her dad because he's playing the piano still. And she hates the piano and she hates hearing it because she hates her dad. And the next morning she realizes, I need to go tell Blaze what really happened. So she saw her at the music store and Blaze doesn't believe her. And then she goes to leave. And Ronnie goes to leave too. But the alarm goes off because Blaze planted a bunch of stuff in her bag.
God, the movie and the book are so different. So after the next morning, Ronnie storms out. Her dad's been cooking for her. And this is when a conversation that happens in the book way later happens now, where her dad's like, here, you want some bacon? And she just storms out. And Jonah's like, she's a vegetarian. And then Ronnie, as she's storming out on the beach, she sees that there's turtle eggs. And so this is when she makes a little enclosure to save the turtle eggs. And then Ronnie ends up going to a restaurant and Will's there, and Will comes up and talks to her. I cannot remember what they talk about in this. Oh, I think it's just him wanting to like introduce himself and figure out what her name is. So it's kind of the conversation he has with Scott, but with her, not with Scott. And then this thing with Blaze happens with the shoplifting, but it's not a music store. It's just a little like convenience shop looking thing. And she just puts a bracelet in Ronnie's bag.
But the reason it was important that it was a music store is because she put like a bunch of CDs and like signed records from like Elvis Presley and like all
very high ticket item things.
Yeah.
Which then makes sense why in the book there's a huge freaking lawsuit
going on.
Yeah. Whereas in the movie, there's no lawsuit.
It's like it's all done now after this.
Mm-hmm. Whereas the rest of the story in the book
revolves around it.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of the driving force of the story.
Yeah, a little bit. All right,
how'd he change that?
I know. Like, why? Okay, so now we're with Steve, and Steve had a great day with Jonah, and they're going inside. They see some turtle eggs, and Jonah and Steve then built a wall.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say built a wall around the thing, and I was like, damn, I forgot about that. They do it.
Oh, no. No, they built a wall around the piano because Ronnie hates how much he plays the piano. And so he like built a plywood wall around it so she didn't have to see it. What a good dad.
I know.
Like, man, I would have been like,
if that's your passion.
Shut up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been horrible.
Oh, backslash.
Yeah. Go away.
Yeah.
It's just Ronnie's a pill throughout this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so he gets a phone call from Ronnie and she's in jail. So on the way home, she's like, I didn't do it. And he's like, okay, I believe you. And later that night, she's sitting out there with. And he's with the turtles, or he's sitting out there with the turtles. And Ronnie comes out and she asks why the wall's up. He's like, because I love you.
Aw.
Duh. And then they talk about the turtles. And raccoons and how we got to hope that they don't get them tonight because we'll call the aquarium, but they won't be out till tomorrow. And Ronnie's like, no, I'll sleep out here with the turtles all night.
The only thing that happens in the movie out of that is that Ronnie sleeps out there with the turtles.
And that she gets picked up from jail and that her dad believes her.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're following Ronnie. And Ronnie wakes up from sleeping near the turtle nest and she's waiting for the aquarium person to come. And it turns out it's Will. And he says he's a volunteer at the aquarium, but he works down at the brake shop. And he only marks the nests, though. The aquarium people come out and actually have to put the cage around it. And that won't be for a few days. She's like, no. I slept out here all night. They better be coming today. And he's like, well, did you see like raccoons or something? And she's like, yes. Even though she did not. But she's like, yes, I did. They were all around here. And she decides to go into town to find Blaze and tell her that, hey, you got to go tell the police the truth because charges are going to be getting pressed against me. And Blaze denied everything. She's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And Ronnie's on her way home and Marcus comes up to her and gets super uncomfortably close. And it's like, hey, I can make Blaze tell the truth if you and me become friends. And Ronnie just runs home and sees her dad reading the Bible, which she never noticed him doing before. And right as she's about to get in bed, she does see a raccoon by the turtle nest.
So now, this kind of happens, except for in this scenario, like Will and Ronnie have a little chat, like a first date chat, where you find out that he was accepted to Columbia. Which also, that's a huge freaking difference. And like, it's a fake out here. Like, he says that and acts like he's going there. And then he's like, oh, my mom wants me to go to a different college. But like, there's differences here. But then you see that Dad and Jonah are watching Ronnie and Will. And Dad's not okay with Will. Whereas in the book, he's like, this is good for her. I want her to find love. Like, this is what she needs.
Yeah. I think I like the movie because it wasn't a flat out, I hate this boy. It was a, that's my little girl moment.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I thought the movie did good. I liked it. Mm-hmm. Like that change.
And now Steve comes up to them and asks Will if he wants to join them for breakfast. Or wait, no.
Jonah. Wait, what?
No, Steve comes up to them when they're outside and he's talking to them and asks if they want to come in or something. But then they say no.
Yeah, because Jonah comes crawling out with food.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they both slept out there, which...
So he does come up to her at night. I thought that was the case.
No, I just rewatched it. He comes up to her. Oh. He wakes her up.
Oh.
So then I think you're jumping ahead.
Oh.
Does he come back?
My next notes are literally all this. So not much must happen.
Okay, then here, let me read. Let's see what happens.
Okay.
Now we're with Will. Ronnie is pissed. She goes to the shop and she's like, hello, no one's been by to put the turtle nest in. Turtle cage over my nest. And so now I have to sleep out there again. And you suck. Actually, this was the next day. She slept out there. And the next day she comes and says that. And he chased after her. And he's like, hey, I didn't know. Oh, no. He chased after her and let her know that I did call several times for them to put it in. And she shared how she's staying the night out there. And that evening, Will shows up and sits with her. So, yeah, not really anything happened in the book then. That's why. And he's talking to her and he sits down and they're making sure the turtles are safe. And they start having a really cute chit chat and they go on a walk on the beach. And Ronnie knows her dad won't let her stay out there with him. So she goes inside. And the next morning, Jonah comes out and says, how, hey, I recognize you. You're the guy who told the cops where Ronnie was. And she gets pissed. But he redeems it by saying, hey, you know, I got to show you something. And he takes her to the aquarium. They have a little date, not date thing, and he's showing her all the sea turtles and all the aquarium before it opens, and then they go fishing and have a cute little moment together too.
In the movie, their date not date is just to the aquarium. And like they go scuba diving in the tanks and stuff. Yep.
Well, where are all your other notes, or did you share them all already?
I shared them all already.
Okay.
Yeah, and the rest of them is stuff that comes after.
Okay.
Now we're following Ronnie. And Ronnie went to the volleyball tournament because Will's like, you should come. And while she's sitting there, Ashley comes up to her and starts talking to her about how Will does the aquarium fishing act for all the girls. And Ronnie couldn't believe she was so stupid and fell for it. So she ran off. And Will follows her. And she won't answer him when he's like, what's wrong? And so he stayed outside for hours waiting for her. Finally, she comes out and's like, she shared how Ashley's been his ex of 2 years. And Ronnie realized, oh my gosh, he jumped to conclusions. But Will's pissed. He's like, you know what, whatever. I thought you were different. And he left. She sees Marcus's fireballs at the end of the beach. And she's kind of freaking out a little bit. But she stands her ground. And then the fireballs went out. And she waited a little longer. But he didn't come up to her. So she goes inside. And then she starts packing up. Because she's like, Dad, I'm leaving tomorrow. This place sucks.
In the movie, the whole Ashley thing happens and Ronnie storms off and then Will comes and hangs out outside. But literally, like, it feels like 20 minutes in the movie has passed when she decides to go back out and be like, this is why I'm mad.
Yeah. You're freaking out my dad and brother. You got to leave.
Yeah. Yeah. And then to end their argument, Will kisses her rather than how it ends.
Yes. But can we mention how they kiss? Like, when they go to the volleyball team or game.
Yeah, just all like,
they kiss already. Like, and we're sitting there, we're sitting there like, wait.
That was your first kiss?
We didn't have a first kiss. You guys are kissing already. Yeah. And then they do this one. And it feels like
and
a first
one
kiss.
This one feels like a first kiss.
It was so odd. It was just like, oh, okay.
You're just skipping to, okay. And then what's funny is Will, when he's mad at her, he's like, you're just like all the other ones. Like, this is the problem with girls. Like, you're falling into the same trap. Whereas in the movie, he says, you're not like all the other girls.
I know.
Wow.
And he never says that Ashley's his ex in the movie, does he?
No.
All right.
Wait.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Because now there's more about their date, not date.
Okay.
Oh, wait. No. Because that happens later. I just think it's the next few things that they do on dates don't happen in the book. Will carves their names into a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a mud fight.
Yeah, it looks so fun. I want to do a mud fight.
No.
Why? You don't think that'd be fun?
That's a mess.
Well, obviously, that's what makes it fun.
Nah. I'm glad I've got John, who's very much a germaphobe, but would not do that with me.
I'm just going to throw mud at him one day. I wonder what he would do. Be like, Bree did it. Throw it at her. And then you'll see how fun it is.
So fun.
All right. So now we're with Marcus. He's pissed off, but Blaze is even there because he just wants to be alone. And he's mad that it looked like Ronnie knows Will and everything. So he's like, I just want to hit something. And Blaze is at the top of my list and all this sort of stuff. And she's just pissed. But he's like, you know what? Fine. So he makes nice with Blaze so he can go get laid.
Cool. Real man.
Yep.
That did not happen in the movie.
Nope. So we are with Steve. Yep. I'm like, what's he? Or Steve, and he's trying to figure out what's going on with Ronnie without being nosy because he can tell something's like bugging her. And Jonah and Ronnie are sleeping, and he kind of has a memory of when he was a kid and he was talking with Pastor Harris. And the pastor just went walking down the beach one day and he thought, oh, I wonder if it's because he likes to be alone. And Pastor Harris is like, no, I go and I talk with God like I do any other friend. And Steve asks, well, does God answer? And Pastor Harris is like, yes, but not in my ears, in my heart. And he's like, oh, okay. I just thought that was the cutest little mm-hmm. scene. So that's why I put that one in more detail than I needed to. And back to the present. He's missed composing music. So he's just decided to write a new song.
Now
he does.
That does not all happen in the movie, except for the composing music has already happened at the start.
Yes. All right, we're with Ronnie. Right, mm-hmm. You got nothing yet?
Right.
Okay. So Ronnie went out looking for her dad in the morning. See, now their relationship's starting to improve.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since, I think, the turtles, like when he said he put the wall up because he loves her and all this sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking to Pastor Harris, and there's a police officer that was just leaving. So Pastor Harris is super kind, and Ronnie's like, oh, I would like to get to know him if I stayed, but I'm not going to stay because Dad said I could leave today. And which I did not mention is that Dad agreed that she can leave.
Dad agreed that she can leave as long as the people don't press charges.
Yes, but we just find out right now they are pressing charges. So she can't leave because she has to do court cases and all this sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so her dad says, you need to go talk to Will because the two of you really seem to have something special. And so she goes. He also shared why he left a few years ago. So him and Ronnie are having this heart-to-heart moment. And Ronnie asked if there was an affair involved. And he kind of stayed silent. So she like was like, I knew there was. And so she assumes it was him and some other lady because he was on the road. That was his. That's why he was on the road. He was a piano player that like barely was. Yeah, was barely home and all this sort of stuff. And so Ronnie went to the shop and she apologized to Will and they end up having their first kiss. Wait, what? Oh, yeah, that's when they had their first kiss.
Yeah. You're like, huh?
What? I mean, we just talked about it.
Not in the book.
Oh, my gosh. And so she goes and talks to her dad and sees the stained glass window. And she asks why he has to make it. He's like, I kind of feel like I have to. I want to because Pastor Harris, you know, let me in when it was raining when I was a kid. And he was the person who showed me the piano and all this sort of stuff. And Ronnie shared everything about what was happening with Blaze. And she told him the truth and all this sort of stuff. And Steve ends with saying, like, hey, I'd like to meet Will. Can you invite him over? And she's like, oh, no, Dad.
Basically, none of that happens.
Yeah, I don't really think so at all. No, mm-mm. None of it.
No.
Okay.
Because Steve has also already met Will.
Yep. So now we're following Will. And Will is, or Scott is pissed and blaming Ronnie for them sucking at volleyball. And Ronnie comes and chats with Will and says, hey, my dad wants to meet you. And he's like, okay, we gotta go back to my house though. I gotta be presentable. And she's like, you do not. And he's like, yes, I do. He goes back to his house and guess what? His parents are there and he's freaking rich. He's in a mansion house.
In the book too, when Will is driving Ronnie, she sees all of like their mailboxes with their last name on it and she clicks it all together, whereas in the movie there's no names on the mailboxes. She's just like, where are we pulling into, what? And the reason they go here is because they just got into a mud fight and they need to get cleaned up. And he's like, don't worry, my parents aren't home. Okay.
Yep. All right, so Ronnie meets his family and his mom is not happy with her. She's typical hoity-toity and there's no woman is good enough for her son type of thing, especially a little common girl. And his dad's pretty chill right now and he's like into model airplanes and all this sort of stuff. Will comes back and they go to Ronnie's house and they play liar's poker. It was such a cute scene.
I know. I wish it was in the movie.
I know. And then they go take a walk on the beach.
Except for, did you catch that? In when Ronnie asks Jonah how he gets all of his money.
Uh-huh.
One of them, he goes, this is from Liar's Poker.
In the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
Cute.
They at least nod to it.
Mm-hmm. So Ronnie and Will are talking about how money wouldn't change her feelings over a guy. Like you could be super rich, and if you don't, I don't like you, I don't like you. And they start talking about real personal stuff. And he shared about how his 5-year-old brother died in a car crash 4 years ago. And it was kind of his fault because him and his brother were goofing off in the back seat and his mom turned around to yell at them. And then they crashed into the water and Scott saved them, but his brother died on impact. And so Ronnie shared about how she didn't talk to her dad and she can play the piano really well. And he's like, I'd love to hear you. And she says, no, 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 thanks.
You find out that Will's brother died a year ago in the movie.
It never said he was little either.
Yeah.
I assumed in the movie that it was like
an older brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Freaking Ronnie plays the piano for Will.
She's like, I want to show you something about me.
I forgot about that. I didn't even make a note of that.
I remember you commenting about that one.
Oh, I probably made a video and didn't
write it down.
Oh, wait. No. Look. Wow. How come? Okay. Well, then I guess I'm just going to say everything else, because at this point, too, Will's parents are now talking about how Will's sister is getting married. Ronnie right here, like, pitches a hardcore fit over Will not inviting her. Yeah. Like, you've been dating him for a day. What? Okay. Do you know what this means? Will's a hoe because he needed to feel again? Question mark? Oh, I remember what this note means. When Will is explaining to Ronnie about how in the last year since his brothers died, the only way that he's been able to feel is by getting with a bunch of different girls. So
what? How yeah, did I miss I know, that?
How did you miss that? Yeah. So basically, he's been getting into bad relationships and getting out of bad relationships with girls because his brother died.
Oh, Will. Come on.
And then apparently right here is when they say I love you, because I also say, doesn't it take them a while to say I love you?
Yes. So, okay. So apparently, you know, that's why they don't talk about Ashley being an ex, because she was not an ex in the.
Yeah, she was a
fling.
Yeah. Oh. A current fling. Yeah.
She was serious when she said that
he does this to all the girls.
Yeah.
So it really doesn't make sense why
she had a right to be all pissed.
I was just going to say, and then him kissing her to shut her up does not help his case.
Oh, my Lanta.
Yeah.
Come on, Will.
So there's that for you. And then Ronnie decides to play the piano for Will right here. And then she gets home and excitedly comes up to her dad and's like, I played the piano today.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're following Will and they're chatting and Marcus and Blaze come over and Will kind of scares them away by being like, get out of here. But before he does that, Marcus made a snide comment about Ronnie possibly getting arrested. So now Ronnie has to tell Will all about what's going on. And he understood Marcus because he's like, yeah, he's a sleazeball. But Galadriel has been friends. They were friends when they were little and she's so nice. And he asked about the plywood wall. And so she shared that her dad put it up because she hates the piano. And he's like, wow, you really hate it that much. And she asked what Marcus meant the other day at the carnival when he said he was throwing bottle rockets. And Will got all squirmy but didn't answer. What could it mean?
I don't know. So this is when we find out why Steve is building the window for the church. And it is because he believes that he burned the church down. Or wait, did he? No.
He did not.
He did not, but he believes he did. And so he feels that he has to make up for this by doing something for the priest.
Yeah, it wasn't that they have a father figure relationship. It's a...
I felt guilty.
Mm-hmm. So Marcus, we're following him, and he's annoyed about Will and Ronnie. And they have a big party at one of the rental houses. What a pointless thing that Nicholas Sparks made us read.
Yeah, that did not happen in the movie.
All right, and we got Will and Ronnie.
Oh, actually, yeah. One of my notes is Marcus hasn't been in bother much.
Exactly. He was worse in the book.
Yeah, he was.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Will, following him. And Ronnie got a job at the aquarium because Will and everybody's working during the day. So she's like, why not me too? And so raccoons are now getting into turtle nests because there's a bunch along the beach that even have cages on them. So Ronnie and Will decide to spend the night out there every night protecting their little eggs. And Will was realizing, oh, yeah, my mom doesn't like Ronnie, because Ronnie had said that. She's like, your mom doesn't like me, because he's been trying to invite her to the wedding. And she's like, no, I don't want to go because your mom doesn't like me. And she's like, yes, she does. And now he's like, oh, she doesn't. And Will's feeling tormented because Ronnie did her court date and she came clean about everything, about the stealing and all that sort of stuff. But he still has the secret with Scott and they need to come clean, but it's not his secret to tell type of thing. Mm-hmm. And Scott and Ashley come up to them and he let them know that Scott said, dude, we gotta go practice volleyball because, like, you know, championship's coming up and he's trying to get a scholarship and all this. And Will's like, no, you know, I want to hang out with Ronnie. And so she finally was like, fine, I'll go to your sister's wedding if you go help Scott and do volleyball. And so later they told each other they loved each other. And they start...
Now.
Yeah. And they start looking at the stained glass window and Will didn't realize it was for the church. And now he's starting to feel even like guiltier. And they start making out, but it almost went too far, but Ronnie stopped him. But Will was okay with it. It wasn't like a bitter stop.
Mm-hmm. In the movie, Ronnie gets an actual formal invitation to the wedding. I also now realize this is also when the volleyball big game thing is happening that Scott's getting upset at him for not going to the practice for. And everyone's super supportive of it. And Dad and Jonah end up going to the game too.
That's right. So now we're following Ronnie. And Jonah has seen them making out. And he's super grossed out by it. But they laugh and joke and have their cute little sibling moment. And Ronnie goes to find her dad. And he's like, I think he's at the church. He was playing piano. And he ends up coughing really bad. And so she kind of runs up to him. But he's like, no, I'm fine. And she was commenting on the music that he's playing. He's like, yeah, I'm writing a new song and all that sort of stuff.
I do remember them being at a church and him coughing really bad, but I'm pretty sure that's at the end of the movie when all the shit's about to go down.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't think this particular scene happens.
Okay. So now we're with Steve, and Jonah wanted to live with his dad, but he's like, no, I'm sorry, you can't. And he's just so tired all the time.
This does not happen.
Now with Ronnie. And Ronnie talked to Blaze. And it turns out Blaze's mom and her boyfriend are getting married. And she's pissed, which made her mom kick her out. And so the only place she has to live right now is with Marcus. And Marcus won't let her tell the police the truth. And she has to listen to him. Otherwise, she gets kicked out of there. But Blaze knows that, hey, Ronnie, I know you didn't do it. And I'm real sorry that this all happened, but there's nothing I can do.
Blaze does end up apologizing to Ronnie, but not until a little bit later mm-hmm. in the movie. Mm-hmm. And the rest of this does not happen in the movie.
Mm-hmm. So Ronnie, she goes back home, her dad's place. She was looking at what she had in her closet for the wedding, and she has absolutely nothing. She's like a punk
nothing.
Goth. Nothing. She's a punk goth weird dresser girl.
Excuse you. I heard you pause after weird. And I knew it's because you're like, wait, this is how Brie dresses.
She's not dressing for the beach is kind of where I was going. Like, she's got like black and jeans all on. And it's like, it's like 100 degrees.
She's me.
Anyway, so Jonah comes in. And he's like, I got you covered. And he pulls out all his earnings from blackmailing her. And so she has a couple $100 there. And he's like, the only deal is that I'm not going dress shopping with you. She went, she got a dress. She had purple in her hair. She took the purple out of her hair. She painted her nails. She looks beautiful. Her dad and Jonah are shocked. Her dad drops her off at the wedding. And Will is speechless before telling her how beautiful she is.
I remember in the movie, her dad is in the church when she comes up and it's like, I need a shop for a dress. And he's like, here, have some money. And her dad gives her money for the dress. Mm-hmm. And then when she's on her way to get her dress, she runs into Blaze. Blaze apologizes and she can tell that Blaze hasn't eaten in a while. So Ronnie gives her all the money her dad just gave her.
Blaze is also beat up.
Oh, yeah.
Marcus starts mm-hmm. beating her.
Yeah. And so she feels bad and gives her the money. And this is when Jonah then gives Ronnie the money for the dress from him blackmailing her. But then Ronnie takes Jonah to go dress shopping with her.
Which is so cute. And I'm so glad that he did. Like, it was way better than the stupid scene. I just don't want to go.
Yeah.
Ah, no. It was so cute. I love that scene.
Yeah. But also you find out in the movie that Will and Scott burn down the church.
Mm-hmm. Now we're with Ronnie during the wedding. Because she's at the wedding now. There's this older gentleman, and Ronnie recognizes him, but she doesn't really know where. And she kind of put it together that, oh, it's the judge from my court cases. Oh, crap. And Ashley comes up, and she kind of puts thoughts into Ronnie's head that Ronnie already had. Like, you know, Will's leaving, and you're leaving in a couple weeks. And so, like, your relationship is going to end. And so Ronnie's all, like, kind of depressed about this. She shares her sad thoughts with Will, and he calms her down, and they're on their way to Will's dad's boat to possibly have sex for the first time. But then, of course, who's there? Marcus. And he's calling Ronnie a tramp and all these other names, and Will tackles him, which is exactly what Marcus wanted, because he tore the tent down and the whole wedding is a disaster now. And so now they're in the house, and Will and his mom are fighting in the other room about Ronnie and how she's not good enough for him. And Will's dad comes into the room and he offers Ronnie a ride home. And she's like, yeah, can you let Will know I'm not going to be seeing him anymore? And so Ronnie wakes up by Jonah saying, there's a pretty girl at the door for you. And she goes out and it's Megan, who is Will's sister that just got married. And Ronnie apologizes for ruining her wedding. And she's like, no. Don't worry. Will told me everything. I know the truth. I came to find out, do you really love my brother? And she's like, yes. And Megan told her that then you need to go and fix him because he's in a horrible headspace and the tournament is about to start. And I postponed my honeymoon so I could watch him win. And she goes and finds Will by some paramedics, or she ran past the paramedics and she kisses him. And she apologized and said, we'll talk about it later, but play like you've never played before.
Well, that tournament's already happened in the movie. Mm-hmm. So he was fine there. And in the movie, when I did like when her dad, except for also, let's talk about this. Her dad drops her off and she starts walking up the stairs and doesn't find Will, who's waiting for her on the sidewalk.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
So Ronnie's already up the stairs and dad finds Will and tells him, hey, no funny business. And it's a really funny joke.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, sir, it's a wedding. And the dad literally is like, says something about, I know that you can have some money.
Right.
Which is also funny since in the book they do try to go and do some stuff, but
I know.
And then in the movie, Blaze is working the wedding. She is now on her way to like having a better life. And she tells Ronnie that she moved out of Marcus's. Whereas in the book, she gets kicked out and she has nowhere to live and she's got no money and all these problems. But instead in the movie, she's her own woman. And the whole reason why Marcus comes to ruin the wedding is because he's there for Blaze and not for Ronnie. And then obviously there's no judge at the wedding to make the wedding worse because there's no lawsuit going on.
Oh, and the judge at the wedding was kind of a key part because that's how Will's mom found out that Ronnie is going to
not court. Good for him.
Yeah.
In her eyes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's it.
Okay. So we're following Marcus and he's just so happy because that all went exactly how he wanted it to. But then he's also starting to get a little nervous because it was really risky doing it to Will's family because they're basically royalty in this town. He's not really scared of anything except prison. And that was kind of like prison worthy. And some of the other stuff he's done is prison worthy. Maybe that wasn't prison worthy, but with the information that Will knows. No, Will doesn't know anything about. With stuff that he's done, he can go to prison. So he decided to get a lot of extra money at the volleyball tournament with his flame act and ditch everybody and go to Florida.
That does not happen in the movie.
Now we're following Will. And he's at the tournament. And they're going great. Like, they're tied with the team that is the top in the States. And Will notices, though, that there's a crowd on the pier. And he sees fireballs. He's like, ugh, Marcus. But then he notices something's going wrong because Blaze is doing the act. And Blaze doesn't usually do the act, but whatever. But it's going really, really fast. And all of a sudden, a fireball caught her shirt on fire. She starts screaming. And no one around is doing anything because they're, like, in shock. So Will runs over to her. Ronnie sees. And she comes to. And they take her to the hospital. Marcus is nowhere to be seen. He just ditched out on her. And they're at the hospital. And her mom comes out sobbing and thanking them for saving her life. And she's in surgery and Will's pissed off. He drives to the beach that Marcus usually hangs out at and he beats the crap out of Marcus and his friends. And if Ronnie hadn't come to stop him, he might have actually killed Marcus because he was beating him that hard. He goes to work the next day and Scott's pissed that he ditched the volleyball game because they had to forfeit and they lost. Will's pissed at Scott. He's like, freaking, it was a girl's life I just saved. And Will had forgotten that there were paramedics there because that was the big deal. It's like, why didn't you let the paramedics do it? And Will ended up telling Scott, hey, you better go tell the truth because Scott's now knows that you did freaking something to Marcus. So now Marcus is going to blackmail me and tell the cops about the church.
This does not happen in the movie.
Just spoke so much for no reason.
Sorry.
So Ronnie, we're following her. We're just trying to figure out what Ronnie wants to do for her birthday. And it was actually cute. I thought this was fun written. That she was thinking and Will is talking and she's like, yeah, whatever. And I don't know. It's cutely written. And eventually she shares she wants to watch the turtles hatch, but that doesn't happen. But it does 2 days later. There's this huge crowd around because, I mean, everybody wants to see these turtles hatch.
Yep.
And her dad and her and Will and Jonah got to be inside the security tape to watch them. And her dad and her sat down and they had a really nice talk together, and the turtles hatched, and the aquarium guys were so excited, and everyone, all of them were chatting afterwards. And then all of a sudden, see, Steve Scott.
Steve Scott.
Oh my gosh. Steve started coughing, and he started coughing up blood. So it was not a good situation.
So after the wedding, then it's the turtles hatching. And they don't hatch on Ronnie's birthday. And there's no real big event for the turtles.
Is there even really Ronnie's birthday?
No.
Okay.
No. And the weddings, turtles, and dad happen so quick is my note. Because now, like, they just watched the turtles hatch. And dad, like, says he's going to go inside to grab something for the kids. And then, like, the kids are all hanging out. And then Ronnie turns around and their dad is just face down in the sand.
Laughing at that. Oh my god.
I'm laughing at the difference here. Oh. He's just coughing and coughing blood. And the movie's just
all right. So we're with Steve and we get some flashbacks to when he was first diagnosed with cancer. And then flash forwards to him as he's coughing up blood saying, I need to go to the hospital.
Yeah, that didn't happen because they just took him to the hospital because he was face down in the sand.
So with Ronnie, and Ronnie's super worried about her dad. But he met with each of them one-on-one and he told Ronnie everything, and she's super depressed because they're finally having a good relationship. And Jonah went in and she hears him crying and saying, no, this isn't what's happening and all this sort of stuff. And Pastor Harris comes and he's talking about how he loves her dad and how much her dad loves his kids and how excited he was to spend the summer with them. And Ronnie realized she knows nothing about her dad. Like, so she doesn't, like, know his favorite color or anything. And she's just praying that she gets the chance to learn all this stuff. Yeah, I'll pause there for a second for you to say that didn't happen.
Well, so in the hospital, the doctors are who tell Ronnie that her dad has cancer.
Yeah, Pastor Harris is not really a character.
Yeah. And so the doctor's like, he cut back on his meds, and dad doesn't have nice one-on-one chat with her about the cancer. So she finds out and then goes in and is like, dad, she starts crying, but she also gets kind of mean to him when she also finds out that he's dying. Whereas in the book, she's just sad. She's like, oh my gosh, this is the worst thing that could have happened because I've been so mean to you for the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. And then you also find out that their dad has to stay in the hospital for a little while.
Okay. So at home, Jonah is freaking out because he wants to finish the window and he can't reach the thing. So he's like cut his knee open trying to reach stuff and all this sort of stuff. And Will and Ronnie offer to help. He's like, you can't help. You don't know how to do it. And they're like, well, maybe you can teach us. He's like, okay. So they work all day and then Jonah falls asleep. And the rest of the Will and Ronnie work all night and then they finish it. I'd be pissed if I was
Jonah.
Mm-hmm. It'd be like putting the last puzzle piece in. Couldn't they have done all of it except the last piece
and let him do that? Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Anyways. You guys literally come in at the last minute.
Right. Take all the credit.
Yeah.
Pastor Harris comes and Will sees the scars on his hands because Pastor Harris was in the church when it caught on fire. And Will decided to tell Ronnie the truth. And Ronnie was pissed. And she's like, you need to leave. You aren't who I thought you were, because he was covering up for him and all this.
Okay. So in the movie, I get mad because their mom doesn't come right away. Whereas in the book, their mom came basically like next day that she was there and was like, okay, guys, I'm going to take you home so that your dad can be your dad. Then the window has not gotten put into the church yet, but it's getting put into the church when dad's on his way home in the movie, which is stupid. And then instead of Will telling Ronnie about the fire, Will and Scott tell Steve about the church fire and how Scott was playing with Marcus in the fire. And then Steve tells them, don't tell the police. It's fine. I'll take this. Like, I'm the one that'll go down as who did it.
What?
Which also then, this causes Will and Ronnie to break up. I was like, so then Ronnie just never finds out? No. Instead, this causes them to break up. Actually, you know what? I'm just going to finish the movie.
Okay.
Because, oh, wait. No, I'll let you go.
Okay. So we're with Will, and Will's packing for college, and he asked his dad to do something for him. No questions asked.
Doesn't happen.
Ronnie. So Ronnie went to visit her dad, and she made him tell the truth about playing the piano if it made him feel better. And he said, yes, it did. And she feels horrible because she made him block up the piano. Mm-hmm. She should feel horrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Jonah comes in with his mom. This is when she comes. And Ronnie decided that she's going to stay and take care of her dad. And her mom tries to convince her otherwise. But Ronnie and them have a fight like they always do. And she blew up and says, hey, I know about the affair and I'm okay with it. Like, I'm here for him. And her mom got kind of awkward. And she realized, oh, my gosh, you're the one who had the affair. And you've been lying to me, making dad seem like this horrible person for no reason. Oh, I'd be so pissed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Jonah comes in saying he wants to stay too, but Ronnie knows, like, you can't watch dad die. So he's like, no, you have to go to school. Or she said, you have to go to school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that doesn't happen.
Then a flashback from Steve's point of view. Flashbacks to seeing Kim cheat on him. Like, she was on a date and she kissed mm-hmm. the guy. And flash forward to Jonah running and begging him, please let me stay. And his dad's like, no, but guess what? Every time you see a light through a window, that'll be me saying hello.
At least he does say that in the movie.
He does. That's kind of key. So I'm glad he said
that. Yeah. Other than that, none of that happens.
Okay. With Ronnie now. Ronnie's reading letters that her dad sent her because he had sent her letters over the last 3 years and she just never opened them. And she's reading them now. And Steve's getting real skinny and sick and time's going on. And it's telling months now. So it's like now mm-hmm. it's October and Will's off at college and all this sort of stuff. And Ronnie found the song her dad was writing. And so she decided to play it and finish it. All this sort of stuff. Pastor Harris comes over and shares how he's praying for her dad and his prayers were answered. And thanks to an anonymous donor, they're able to fix the church because they couldn't fix the church because of insurance issues. So they didn't have enough money to fix the church. And now they can because they got a donation. And one time, Ronnie and her dad go walk the beach and they sit and watch the construction of the church and they see Will's dad there. And Ronnie puts two and two together and be like, oh, that's where all the money came from. And she told her dad everything about Will and the church fire. And he said, you know what? You need to learn to forgive. And she's like, I have forgiven him. I messaged him and he hasn't messaged me back. And she's like, no. Or he said, no, you have to forgive yourself. Deep.
Deep, deep. So.
Oh, but I did like how he said this at this part because I didn't even think of that. Because she's pissed off at Will, right, for holding a secret. And he's like, well, aren't you doing that now, too? It was like she was holding the secret because she knew that Scott did it, too. And she hadn't said anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. Ronnie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I was like, how the tables turned. In the movie, Will's parents are not. They just don't donate the money to put the window in the church.
They
the
don't need
window
to.
Just comes up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's also no drama with the whole parents affair situation thing.
Nope. Okay. So we're still with Ronnie and Steve's getting worse. And one day Blaze shows up though. And her mom says, oh, Blaze and her mom show up. And Blaze tells her, hey, I told the police the truth. So you don't have another court date. And Ronnie's like, oh my gosh, thank you. But are they going to arrest you now? And Blaze is like, nope. Because I gave them other important information, and it turns out, shocking, Marcus is the one who set fire to the church because Scott shot his bottle rocket and it went out, but Marcus is like, ha ha ha, perfect time, and he set fire to it, and so now Scott believed he did. And Blaze is like, oh, can you call me Galadriel, by the way, from now on? I hate the name Blaze.
Mm-hmm. So that does not happen in the movie.
Mm-mm. Still with Ronnie. She found a new letter from her dad and she eventually did read it. And it's basically saying how proud he is of her and loves her. And this was a great summer and all that. And so her dad is doing worse. And he let her know, hey, I signed a DNR. So if you take me to the hospital, that's pretty much it. And so one night he's very non-responsive. So she brings him to the hospital, but she does not hand over the DNR because she wanted to make sure he would wake up with the assistance of all the machines. And he did wake up. And so he made her bring him home, though, basically saying, hey, it's time for me to go. And Ronnie finally finished the song, but she wanted to make sure he heard it So she and Galadriel tore down the plywood. She raced back to the hospital and brought him home. And Ronnie was able to play their last song they wrote together. Also, my mouth was like, what? When that line happened, because I did not realize that in the movie. I don't know what I thought last song was in the movie.
Oh, my God.
I've been watching this movie for 13 years and I did not register that that's what the last song was.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, oh, that's their last song.
I got it the first time I watched it.
I'm sure almost everybody did.
Oh no. Well, in the movie, Steve and Ronnie don't write it together.
Nope.
So that's a problem. And he dies before he can hear it. And he dies in his sleep. Not this whole like he went to the hospital and then he came back and then he's dead. It was he was at home chilling on the porch. She was like, I finished the song, and came out to tell him and he was gone.
Quite depressing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're with Ronnie and a week later is when he died, and then they had the funeral and the place was actually pretty empty, but there were a couple people, like Blaze or Galadriel was there, and Will's parents were there, and she thanked them for what they did for the church, and he's like, that was supposed to be anonymous, and she's like, yeah, I just figured it out. And she's like, well, or they said, well, someone's here that wants to talk to you. And it was Will, and they both apologized for what happened, but, you know, Will's still going off to college, and then he's going across seas and all this sort of stuff, and Ronnie's going back to New York, and so they're kind of still off. And so she goes, and she plays the song she wrote with her dad for Juilliard, and she gets in, and she gets a phone call from Will saying, hey, I hope I can take you on that date, or take you on a date, and she's like, where are you? And it turns out he was right behind her because he transferred to Columbia so they can go to school and be super close to each other.
In the movie, at the funeral, Will comes into the funeral so that he can hear Ronnie play the piano.
Yes, because that's what Ronnie does for her eulogy. Mm-hmm. She plays his song.
Mm-hmm. And then the rest of it doesn't happen.
Nope, they just hook up.
Yep.
The end.
That's it. We did it.
Yep. All right.
All right.
Let's do some chaos.
Let's.
All right. We got 65 people cast for this movie. Miley Cyrus was this why this movie was created.
Mm-hmm. Which is really funny. I didn't recast her, but also I don't think she did great in it.
I did recast her.
Oh, good.
But I couldn't decide. So you'll have to help me.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay. I had two. So one was Shailene Woodley.
Oh, okay.
And the other was Emma Stone.
Shailene.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down, all the way.
Okay.
She would have been great in this role.
Okay. So that's why I recast.
I like it. I'm with you.
Okay.
Shailene Woodley is Ronnie Miller.
There we go.
Ironic. I just want to know what made Nicholas Sparks go, you know what? For you, I'm going to write a movie.
I know.
She did not do well.
This was her first ever movie besides mm-hmm. the Miley side. This was besides Miley Montana. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
well,
I like her song for the movie, but
mm-hmm.
other than that, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, all right, we got Greg Kinnear
mm-hmm.
played Steve Miller.
Love him.
I love him
so much. I almost wish when I was listening to the audiobook, I was like, oh, I wish it was Greg reading this.
I know, that would have been really good.
Like, how Nicholas wrote it, it was Greg.
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, and then we got Bobby Coleman as Jonah.
He's so cute.
He was so cute.
Yeah,
I mean, the only difference was Jonah was supposed to have glasses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because he was like a little preemie and all this sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. But he did good.
Yeah. Cute.
Yep. And we have Liam Hemsworth as Will Blakely.
I think he did good.
Oh, he was so cute. This is where I fell in love with him, which makes sense because it was his first movie.
Uh-huh.
But... So dreamy. You're such a little baby. Oh, man. All right. So then we're going to do Nick Lachey played Marcus.
He was good.
Yeah.
For what he was, which is weird, for what he was given, which is ironic since it came before the book. So this is a bizarre one for us.
And then Carly Chaykin.
I would say Chaikin? Chaikin, because C-H-A-I is just chai.
Okay.
Chaikin?
Okay. She played Blaze.
I think she did good.
I think so, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okie dokie. Is the theme of the book and movie the same?
Yeah. Kid goes away for summer, gets wrapped up in things.
Yep.
Kind of.
Summer fling and dad's death. Yeah.
That's there you go. Same. There you go.
Do the characters stay true?
I guess not Blaze and Marcus.
No, not them. Or Will for part of it.
I was just going to say Will either. Ronnie, kind of.
She was a punk kid the whole time and then got better.
Dad, same. Jonah, same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which do you prefer?
I prefer the book.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I do too. The book, I know. How interesting. Yeah. I do too. Which is funny because I love the movie.
I loved it until this. When we were watching it, I was like, oh no. It's like, oh.
And it's your favorite Nicholas Sparks movie.
Uh-huh.
Oh no.
Uh-huh. Isn't that ironic?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, if they cast Shailene, I probably would still like it, maybe. I don't know. I just felt like. I felt like Miley and Liam were both very new in acting. And so, like, it was also kind of hard for me to watch in that sense.
Well, I mean, they were. This is both their first movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I can tell. I can tell. But yeah, I liked, it's really funny to me that the movie came first because I feel like there's a lot of weird loose ends that aren't like, oh, just blame it on me because I'm going to be dying soon. Like, what?
Right.
Or like the story doesn't get driven because there's no lawsuit. So it's just kind of like,
right. I wonder if Nicholas Sparks has ever written a different screenplay before. Like, I wonder if he's like, oh, for screenplays, you know, you need less because it has to.
Go that's more. True. That's a good question.
I can put more into. So I wonder if he just didn't know how to write a screenplay.
Maybe that might be. He needs to stick to book first and then screenplay.
It's a lot easier to take out things than
Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because once if you take it out, you can at least try and like find a way to put a nod in there or something.
Uh-huh.
Rather than like, oh, shoot, I didn't put this in. Guess I'm going to put it here now.
Exactly. Cool.
All right, guys. Did you like this episode?
Yes.
5 stars enough?
Oh, yeah.
You should rate it then.
Okay, we'll do.
And if you aren't, you should subscribe. I said that weird.
I know. I was like,
subscribe.
Did I hear it?
You should subscribe.
Yes. And then review the whole podcast.
Yeah, we would love that. That would make our day. Also, if you're listening on Spotify, I went ahead and put a little, what did you think about this episode? And a poll for you. So go ahead and cast your vote.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what you thought.
Mm-hmm.
Only if it's nice.
Yeah, don't be mean. Yeah, we're very emotional.
We're sensitive. Yeah. If you tell us something mean, we might end.
My God.
I can't do this
anymore.
No
one likes us anymore. It was one person.
One person. And we have like 38.
And they give us like 4 stars instead of 5. They hate us.
Why?
No.
All right.
Gosh.
And then in this confusing season for you, Wednesday, we're going back to just regular. We got a mini-sode for you.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking a break from season 3.
Yep. But then on Monday,
we're starting Allie's birthday month.
Remember, I gave up January so that we could do the Hunger Games since it was in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, my turn. And we got A Man Called Ove, or Otto. A Man Called Otto is the movie.
Mm-hmm. The American movie, because I believe there's actually a, I'm going to get this wrong. I think it's a Swedish.
Oh, interesting.
Book and movie already.
Oh, well, we're doing the one with Tom Hanks.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm excited. I haven't read or watched it yet. So that's why I chose it. I tried to pick one that I haven't done either to yet.
This was one of the ones where I went and watched the movie with my mom, and right away it popped up and was like, based on a book. And I was like, oh no. But then, like, I want to say 30 minutes in, I was like, oh, I got to add it to our list for sure. So I'm really excited to read it.
Oh, good. Okay. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
Me too. All righty. Cool.
All right.
All right, you guys. And with that, the last song
went off script.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shout outs to Madame Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticism to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales!